Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here live on a Wednesday morning, April the 10th, 2024, 15 minutes past the hour. And we have got a treat this morning for the next two solid hours live. Sitting with me in studio as of Friday, the 2024 latest inductee to the WWE Hall of Fame, the legendary greatest talker, one of the greatest performers in the history of professional wrestling, my good pal. What a pleasure it is to bring back to the radio for the first time really since his 80th birthday live in studio, the man himself, Thunderbolt Patterson. Thunderbolt, we're off and running.
Heaven high there, Scott, and heaven high to all the great fans out there.
Thunderbolt, let's start with the induction. What has this all meant to you to go in the WWE Hall of Fame?
A dream come true.
Did you ever think you would see the day?
No, at one point in my life, I thought I wouldn't never accept it.
What and who changed your mind?
Well, most of all, God, but some good people, friend of mine, good people, and got a call and just said, listen, open up your ears and listen, and I decided, yes, I'll do it.
Take a run at it. Mm-hmm. How do you describe the experience that we just had in Philadelphia from Thursday night until Monday morning?
Wow. Now, that's where wow come in. Yeah. What an organization, you know. I never was in that area, and I didn't know that much about up north, as it would say, WWE or WWF when it was in several of the, whatever they have up there. I've only had one trip up there back with in 68, but what a different atmosphere. I've been, a lot of places and things, but that it seemed like a change. It's something is in the air. As you say, the power of the living God.
When you were up in the ring, well, let's start there, because you said you would never enter a ring again. And Friday night, after 31 years of not entering a ring, not being on national television, you did it. What was it like to be back in front of a national television crowd and back in the ring after 31 years, three decades?
It was a great honor, because over the years, not being invited to any of the organization that was going on, and when I and WWE, a dream came true. I mean, all it's worth it all.
When you were giving your acceptance speech, what were you thinking about?
Jesus did it. Had not been for the Lord touching good people, it never would have happened.
Now, you talked a lot about suppression and race in your acceptance speech. The WWE talked a lot about it. You rallied against this in your 60-year career. By the way, this is the celebration of 60 years that you have been involved in the wrestling industry. Started in 1964. Tell people what suppression and race meant in the past.
The race card been played too long, you know, just period. It's hard to comprehend in this modern world, especially in the United States of America, that the race card is being played so hard, you know, and so openly. You know, it's just a deep. Did you ever think that you would see it like this?
It's a different time, and that being said, do you think we can come out of it?
Well, no, I mean, people got choices, you know, and people got to renew their mind, but they got to spiritually renew their mind. You know, God is able to do anything if they want to. You know, this is a, you got to do it all for yourself. You have to do it for yourself. You know what I mean? Haters, liars. That's on them.
And one thing I want to do is talk about race, because it was mentioned so many times that when you started in 64, Martin Luther King Jr. is still alive. Bobby Kennedy is still alive. Malcolm X is still alive. It's a different time. But there were places. Talk about the Ku Klux Klan. We talked about this a little last night here at the studio. What would happen when you were in locker rooms?
Oh, I found cards in my bag. Yeah, and I didn't tell you about I worked with the union. And the Brooks Building, you know, clothing, one of where our office there. And we had some, you know, some remarks put on the door and all. So, but, you know, it's there. And everybody know it. And it ain't just started, you know. So, you know, and we can fix everything else. We can go to the moon. We can go under the ground. We can go to the bottom of the ocean. We can... Who, you know, is deep, man.
Talk about not being able to dress or eat or stay in the same places in those days just because of the color of your skin.
Well, you know, that's the only thing is that I couldn't dress in this one place. But other than that, I mean, there's places you had to go in the back or there, you know. But I never had no racial problem until I could start sitting with some of the individuals in the wrestling business.
Talk a little bit about that. What was the problem and how easily was it to be seen?
Well, I mean, everybody can see it. I mean, you know, bullies, you know? It's bullies. I mean, there's nothing to talk about with the bullying and the racism and the mistreating of people, the suppressing of people, because everybody see, hear the same thing. So why and what's the problem? You know, they have the power to change it, but nobody wants to even address it.
I told the story at the Hall of Fame, but I want you to tell it. Talk about Texas and the sheriff.
Oh, Abilene, Texas, the sheriff murdered his wife. And, man, they drew a composite, is that the right word, that looked just like me. And Don Slatton, the lawman, called down to Amarillo and told Dory Funk Senior, don't send him down here. And I mean, we were selling out everything, man. And Dory asked him, said, "Well, why, you know?" And he told him they got a murder warrant out on him. And Dory said, "No, I'm not going to send him. I'm going to bring him." And but they had caught him. They killed his wife and tied himself up and drew a picture just like me.
So this sheriff had killed his wife, drawn a composite drawing of you, mm-hmm. trying to frame you.
I imagine so.
And all...
He got caught, though. He got caught. I mean, didn't nobody say a word to me.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, as to God, my whole life, I'm understanding, you know. Here I am, being accepted. Briscoe, Pritchett, Triple H, being accepted. WWE.
Oh, show that off to everybody. There's the ring. There's the ring.
Yeah, you know, and it's just an honor to, had not been for the Lord and had not been for him touching the hearts of those three individuals. And also now, don't forget the Killer Bee, Brian Blair. He called it, they got me to moving again.
Now, a lot of talk on the Hall of Fame induction video, a lot of talk, certainly over the weekend, because of his son, about Dusty Rhodes. Now, let's set the record straight.
The record is straight. The record is straight, you know what I mean? Dusty was a good performer, but the record is straight. What was done... And, you know, I mean, yeah, just more power.
Let's talk about this area. You wrestled here in the late 1960s, early 1970s. Of course, the legendary Sheik was here, the promoter and also the headliner. What was it like working with Ed Farhat, the Sheik?
Oh, very good. Very good. Bobo Brazil, Danny Hodge, you know what I mean? It's, hey, all down through here. It was real great.
What was it like being in the ring with the Sheik?
Hey, exciting. I mean, he knew what he was doing.
Bobo Brazil.
Knew what he was doing.
Pampiro Furpo.
Hey, come on, man. You called in the role.
It was a group up here then.
Oh, yeah. Some of the best. Danny Hodge. I mean, some of the best. I mean, you know, it's a lot of good wrestlers, and there's a lot of good performers, you know. Wrestling, one of the greatest businesses. One of the greatest businesses. And they have just emerged another one. I mean, that WWE, man, and they got some, that Briscoe and that Bruce understand the whole deal, you know, and it's just the sky's the limit. God, thank God for Jesus.
You know, everybody there from Ben Brown, Holly in the travel department, Gerald Briscoe, Bruce Pritchard, the whole group were very welcoming.
Very good
all
team.
Very good team.
Very good team working together.
And they pulled off in 3 days, Friday night, 21,000 people at the Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah, no.
Saturday night, over 70,000 people for the first night of WrestleMania. Sunday night, over 70,000 people. 145,000 people over two nights for WrestleMania. Throw in that 21,000 from Friday night. In three nights in one city, over 165,000 people watched, saw, in person, professional wrestling. What do those numbers say to you?
Hey, it's on the move. It's on the move, and somebody's doing something right.
And the production is crisp.
Out of sight.
Ready to go.
Out of sight.
When you look back at your career, you wrestled with Luthez, against Luthez. What was it like to wrestle against this legendary man?
One of the greatest, great matches. Luthez, Gene Kaniskis, Harley Race, Briscoes, I mean, Eddie Graham, Pat Patterson, and Ray Stevens, Furpro, Gorilla Monsoon, Fritz Von Erich, Wahoo, you know, it's just on and John Valentine, on and on and on. You know, I had the opportunity of working with some of the greatest individuals that ever participated in the wrestling entertainment.
How do you define professional wrestling? Because a lot of people call it wrestling. A lot of people call it sports entertainment. How do you refer to it?
That's what they call it. That's what it is, sports entertainment. It's the basics is wrestling. And, you know, giving people what they pay for.
How did your career begin? Because you wanted to be a minister.
Well, I love the Lord. Best thing ever happened to me was falling in love with Jesus. And I wanted to be a minister, but I didn't want to play with God. You see how they things going on now, how people playing. It ain't nothing but a, ooh, oh, oh, you heard me.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Rucker told me, said, son, whatever you do, take Jesus with you. And I didn't realize what he was saying and all, but I come to find out that I didn't take Jesus with me. Jesus had me all the way and took me, you know, because I couldn't have went through it by myself.
Where did you learn or break in to professional wrestling?
Waterloo, Iowa, Kansas City, where the NWA office out of St. Louis, Missouri.
And who was around in those days?
Bob Geiger, Gus Kears, Pat O'Connor. Big O, that's Bob Orton Sr. Gary Hart, Fritz Von Erich, come on. Todd Tanaka, who? Johnny Vell, man, I'm talking to the role. I'm talking about it back when all the dogs, Sweet Hansen, and who?
Who were the real tough guys in those days?
Luthez. Luther Lindsay. Carl Gotch. And Briscoe boys.
Talk about working with Jerry Briscoe as one of the first integrated tag teams.
When one of the best students I had, and that was just teaching him how to, he already knew how to take care of himself and just not let individuals take advantage of him, because he's a wrestler, skills, and individuals, you know, that try to get over on names of people, but Briscoe once they caught on to it's about putting asses in seats, money.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Now, the other night, for people who watch the Hall of Fame on Peacock, and by the way, you can go back and watch it, just if you have the Peacock app, search WWE Hall of Fame 2024, and you can watch the ceremony anytime on demand. As you're coming out, they introduce you at the Hall of Fame, and immediately you see Jerry Briscoe, who's seated to your left as we're coming down the aisle, and you stand up, and you two embrace. And I was standing right there. It was one of the most emotion-filled moments of the entire Hall of Fame. What was going through your mind when you were wheeling out there?
Just how good God has been to me. And how good a friend that I had, that I have with Jerry Briscoe.
What was that embrace like in front of everybody watching all around the world?
I wouldn't think about nobody else. I don't know. I don't know how the people felt. I was just so happy to see him and happy for everything that he'd done for me.
It was very emotional in the arena. Everybody was clapping when that happened.
Oh, you're right.
It was. And JBL was right there standing next to him.
Yeah. You know, I haven't got a chance to see it yet.
We'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
Now, why has Jerry Briscoe become such an important person in your life at this time?
Well, he's a real friend. I mean, he's given me a second chance on life.
And I want to say, this is a nice man. I had not met Jerry Briscoe until WrestleMania weekend. And when we came out of the ring after the speech, he came up and said, great speech. He put it on social media, and every time I saw him for the rest of the weekend, he would always tap me on the arm, how you doing, good to see you. Just a good guy.
Good spirit, yeah. Yeah, that's Gerald.
Another guy, Bruce Pritchard. Talk about your run-ins with Bruce this past weekend.
I've only had one. Two. I've only had two brief ones, but spirit. I mean, feeling each other. You know, understanding and speaking the truth, and not what you think. Doing what you know how to do. What you was your purpose. Which is put here for. What a moment. What a moment. That's the first time I ever met him. And boy, whew.
We were back in a holding area, mm-hmm. getting ready to do something, and I saw him peek through the curtain there, mm-hmm. and here he comes.
Yeah, boy.
And there's an embrace, and he just talked about what a fan, as a child, he had been of yours.
Boy, I'm telling you, that man, they had goosebumps, you know. I could feel the presence of God, Spirit. You know, I'm talking about, I'm excited.
Yeah, and well, you should be, and again, I want to say about Bruce. Bruce is busy working on the show that night. We come out of the ring. He's on headset dealing with a lot of stuff. He takes his headset off, stands up, shakes my hand, says great speech, and then introduces me to one of the other producers, writers there. I think the head producer, writer. And you know, he's busy at that point. He doesn't have to do that, but he does because he's a gentleman.
Yeah. Recognize what you do, appreciate what you do. That's the whole thing, man, coming together as a team and giving those great fans out there what they want, and some good entertainment, some good wrestling, and just what a man. What operation? I'm honored to be inducted. Yeah.
What are the biggest changes in this industry from when you started in 64 till 2024?
The changes? Well, Briscoe and Bruce, good people, know what they're doing, you know, and fair, you know what I mean? Not what somebody else say, get that bad spirit, you know. Yeah, I mean, they've seen it all, and everybody should make more quality decision for themselves, not what somebody wants them to believe, or believe what they hear them say, you know?
You know, it's very interesting. The professional wrestling fan, I have to say, is one of the most devoted fans.
Yes.
Why do you think that is? What do you make of the professional wrestling fan?
Well, just like wrestling, it's unique, one of a kind. I mean, real people. I mean, that love what they, you know. That's what it is. I mean, it's short and sweet.
They're loud. They're with it.
Into what they do.
Into what they do.
I mean, and enjoy what they see.
Who are the current wrestlers who you are fans of?
Not too many. I mean, you know, I mean, I look at them as good workers, and then I know the great wrestlers, and there is a difference, and there's a few, you know, that I know that are good.
Mm-hmm. Who today would you say should be the world champion?
They thought Cody Rhodes would.
He is right now.
Yeah, they thought he was. So that's, you know, my opinion don't mean that they never meant nothing, you know. But I mean there's some Brock Lesnar, that Roman Reigns, he done proved himself, and Sherman Benjamin, that's bad little man. I mean that. I mean, but what talent. And there's another guy, is a bigger guy. I don't know his name, but he really didn't get a chance to speak with him. But, yeah.
Since we're on radio here, I want to go over some of the things you did on television. And it came up in your speech, If I Only Had Time.
If I only had time.
For the radio audience out there, because many people have told this story, but tell the correct version of what happened with If I Only Had Time.
Carrollton, Georgia. You know what I mean? It's, Jim Cornette tells it quite a bit, you know, but if it is run Carrollton, Georgia on a Saturday night, and when they mention it, it always sell out, and so it just a few seconds to go out there, and Ole told me to go out there and say Carrollton, you know, but I can't follow then the scripts of and If I Only Had Time.
Where did your energy come from? Because
the Lord, God give me energy to do. Yeah.
By the way, I do want to let the listening audience know we'll be on through 10 a.m. this morning, and I can offer you a toll-free line here, 740-383-9944. If you'd like to talk or ask a question to the legendary Thunderbolt Patterson, 740-383-9944 is how you would do that, and we will get you on the line with the 2024 WWE Hall of Famer as of last Friday night. Does it seem like it's only been a few days, Thunderbolt? With everything we've been doing, it seems like it's been weeks now, but it's only been a few days.
Yeah. Been a great day, as The Rock said. Very exciting time. Very, very exciting time.
Now, The Rock, how did you find him at the event?
Doing what he do.
Good performer?
Doing what he do. I mean, Hollywood said he's the best. He's in the spot.
Why do you think he was able to achieve success outside of the wrestling industry when a lot of people have not?
He doing something right. You got to know God. I mean, he's doing, you know what I mean? He's doing something right to be recognized as the best, the most, the top. And isn't that what everybody intend to be or want to be?
Be on top.
Yeah.
Where would you say you were most on top in your career?
Say that again. On top?
Yeah, what area?
All of them. It could be no other way. I drew money in all the towns, you know. I had the fans. The fans came to see me. So I was on top with the, you know.
Absolutely. So when you came in to a town, the houses would pick up.
Mm-hmm.
What were the fans like back in those days?
Good. Interesting. Into it. Enjoyed it. Mm-hmm.
Now, I also want to bring up the fact that the money issue, just to the degree that a lot of people are curious about what professional wrestlers made back in those days, and you have talked about the biggest payoff you ever received in your career. Talk a little bit about that night.
$1,000. Sold out Superdome. That was it.
Now, when you got that thousand?
3 weeks later, maybe.
What was your reaction like?
Ooh, you don't want me. I can't say it. I can't say it on this air.
Now, what did you feel? What did you think was coming?
I had no idea. I've never had. I don't think. This is my opinion. I don't think I've ever, you know, been paid right, equal. Because the struggle was too hard.
When you would try to deal with promoters, how did they respond?
Did I turn that pen over? They don't use ballpoint. They use lead pens where they can erase and out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind, and they walk past you like they don't even know you. At the spur of the moment, just like guys do the same thing.
One of the greatest promoters of that era was Mr. Jim Barnett. Talk a little bit about your runnings or your career. And
I went to Australia twice for Jim, and Jim was always first class, And all of the guys, including myself, was hoping that he got a territory in the States, and he did. He ended up with Georgia. And he paid a little bit better than the rest of them.
And in your opinion, who were the best payoff men?
Well, I done more well than Amarillo. Funk and Mr. Crockett.
Crockett Sr.
Yeah, Sr. Yeah.
When the boys took over, Crockett Jr., yeah. What was the change like?
Didn't know what they were doing. There was the change. Did not know what they're doing, and put individuals in that didn't know what they were doing. Or selfish.
What has it been like for 60 years now to fight and rally against racism in the entertainment industry, wrestling industry?
Well, I mean, it's hard to believe that it's still live and kicking the way it is. You know what I mean? Just people pretending to be together and not together, hypocrites, liars, haters, killers, just because of the skin color and for whatever reason. You know, and everybody got a choice. But God don't like ugly.
What do you think it is that drives people to base things on race?
To what?
Race. Why do they base things on that?
I can't answer that. Other than greed, wanting to be superior, power. That's about all I can say.
What advice would you give somebody who wanted to get in to this industry today?
It's always the dark side of something, because the two individuals that I got into this business, I haven't seen them since the day that they got their little conversation, So I don't recommend the individuals that go to college, that there's a calling to do this, do it. I mean, I don't have any boys. I don't recommend no grandsons to go into the wrestling, because I know the time. I had a hard time, and I certainly don't want them to go through what I went through, or I certainly don't want them to bow down to what they have to, because it was hard. I couldn't do it.
At this time in your life, as you reflect back on it, did you learn anything from any of that, the last 60 years?
Learn something every day. Had not been for the Lord, he showed me the whole thing. People, evil people, good people, he showed it to me.
And you know what? I think we have a call coming in here. So, Thunderbolt, I want you to put on this headset here, or put it to your ear so we can make sure we hear the phone call. You're on with the legendary Thunderbolt Patterson. Go ahead.
Hey, congratulations on your Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, wait a second. We're going to get Thunderbolt to get the headset on here so he can hear what's going on. Caller, stay with us here. We're going to get the headset on. And Thunderbolt has it on here. Okay, go ahead, caller. You're on with Thunderbolt.
Hi, congratulations on your Hall of Fame induction.
Well, thank you.
And I was just wondering, when you wrestled that pay-per-view match for WCW in 1993 at Slamboree, okay, it was you and Brad Armstrong against Baron Von Raschke and Ivan Koloff.
Yes, sir.
How did that all come about? I was just becoming a fan at that time.
Well, they booked the match. I mean, I had a group home at that time. And Ole. And I think Bill Watts was also on part of that, getting back to work at that time. And Brad Armstrong was supposed to have been my partner, but he didn't show up. And his son, Bob Armstrong, excuse me, was supposed to be my partner, but he didn't show up. But, and Brad did, so it went off real well.
Is that the question you had, caller? Well, hey, thank you for calling. All right, and I should mention again, the phone lines are open here. We've got the legendary Thunderbolt Patterson in studio, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you want to talk to the legendary Thunderbolt, he is here, and he is live. That match at Slamboree 93, a lot of people do remember that, because it was in the modern era of wrestling, and televised pay-per-view. Did you like how that all turned out?
Sold out.
It did.
Yeah, I mean, it was sold out before, you know, and you can hit that deal and punch and see everything that went on, you know, so.
Talk about that dinner. Now, people can catch this video. Gordon Solie's doing the interview. You're at the table. Teddy Long's at the table.
You know, I can't remember Gordon Solie being at the table.
I believe it's Gordon. We'll pull the video up.
I know that Teddy Long was talking. But,
So Gordon's doing the interview. Teddy Long is sitting opposite Gordon.
Okay.
And Ivan Koloff and Baron Von Raschke approach you.
Yes.
Talk about what transpires.
Oh, we talked. We threatened each other, okay? And at that time, the one that was speaking was Teddy Long, because so he was there sitting with the godmother, you know, and Barnett was sitting back there, and Ron Schimmel was crossing back and forth, and it is what it is, you know.
It's a very interesting interview, because when you got fired up, you got intense.
Well, I mean, I try to do the best I can do at all times, you know what I mean? I feel good. I feel good about a lot of things now, and I've interested in a lot of things. I've never been treated so good before, and by good people, you know. I've never been treated as good. This is the best promotion that I've been in. Yeah, so I'm happy. I'm happy.
let's because that was also brought up at the Hall of Fame. When you would do a promo for wrestling, you would speak to a point and then you would not finish the sentence. You would drop a word. How did that technique come about?
Well, you can't just say anything all the time, you know, like they do now. I mean, you got to respect the women, you got to respect them children, and you got to respect a man and his family. So, you know, that's the only thing, because some people don't understand unless you tell them the hard way, and you can't do that. So I just, instead of getting in my, deep.
You deep. Now, you would drop the word, so the word was most likely.
Your mind. You make your own decision.
Make your own word. Make your own word.
Decision. You make your decision what you think I say. Or what you think you know that I say, but I couldn't say it.
When Ole Anderson was such a big part of your career, we just recently lost him in the last few months. Why was he such an important part?
Always gave me work, never fired me.
And I think we've got another phone call coming in here that we're going to take. You're on with the legendary Thunderbolt. Go ahead.
Hey, Thunderbolt, how are you?
Hey, where are you calling from first?
I'm here in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Port St. Lucie, Florida. Go ahead.
All right. Very good, sir. And you?
I'm good. Let me give you a little bit of my accolades. I actually used to be a ring announcer for back in the WWF days in the late 80s, early 90s, when wrestling was not as theatrical as it was. And I remember your days and followed your career. How was it when you found out that you were going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Very good. Very good. I mean, like I said, one point in time in my life, I thought I would not accept it because I feel that I lost the best part of my life, you know. But my friend Gerald Briscoe gave me a call, and him and...
Thunderbolt, let me ask you another question. What is your opinion about the wrestling of today opposed to the wrestling of back in your day?
Well, I mean, it's wrestling and entertainment. Isn't that what they say it is now?
Well, I'm getting a lot of static.
We are. We have a bad connection, but go ahead. Keep going.
I'm going to hang up and call you right back.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Actually, we've got to go to break. So, Port St. Lucie, we got to take a 15-minute break. Give us a call back or anybody else after the break here. And let me see here. We will come back with more.
We'll finish that.
Yeah, we're going to finish that in 15 minutes. We got a break. We're coming back with Thunderbolt Patterson. 15 minutes. WWE Hall of Famer. Don't you dare go anywhere.
I think that's best. The words are nice. I mean, it'd be nice if I got one. But I was up four times, so... I was a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Marla, when you get a role today, you say you still do auditions. Does the money matter?
Yes, it does. Because I blew all my money. I wish I blew it. But I owned a theater and I owned a jazz supper club, so all the money went. So now, when I get a job, I do want to be paid.
Are the residuals good?
Well, they're not as exciting as everybody knew. Oh, would you get residuals? I didn't see that.